Tiltcast, episode 340, Grease Pave the Way.
We talk 7 days to die and dying lies. Stay tuned.
It's okay. The dog was afraid.
Are we back?
Yes. Yes.
Holy shit.
It didn't take 30 minutes for your computer to start.
Well, give it some time. It'll disappoint you later.
You didn't have to smash the hard drive to get it to work.
Not today, but, you know, I thought about running it over a couple times. I love technology. I love broken technology. It's a Tiltcast.
It is, and we're back.
Yes. Oh, fuck. I've gotten, like, fucking little sleep. Very little sleep. I need this caffeine that I just cracked open.
Well, you know what it isn't, it's not 9:45 last Friday.
No, it's right? Just 8:45.
It's 8:45 this Friday, which is June 29th in the year of 2018. Oh, and you know why I started dating these? Because I was going through archive episodes and I realized there's no show notes or anything that does anything for dating them.
Oh, well, okay. And
that's really where this came from.
No, where it came from was initially you were like, oh, well, he's taken a while to, you know, to get these episodes produced and up, so we're gonna start shaming him by name, you know, putting the fucking date on this thing.
And you got the last one up this morning.
It only took a week. Fuck, I work, man. Sleep happens sometimes randomly. But yeah, no, it's a good idea. I'm working things out. Got plans. I talked to you a little bit about these plans this morning here. I want to get off of this fucking laptop, so we're going
to
be...
in between, without me speaking to circumstances and me throwing the phone and...
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, technology was just, hey, why not? Otterbox, throw the fucking phone. Yeah.
Otterboxes are great.
Yeah, Otterboxes are awesome.
The other new but should have been a normal tradition for that we should have had for a long time.
We're throwing our phones?
Nope.
Right.
I wouldn't throw this thing. I just bought it.
So, for anybody that hasn't listened before, you're Rusty.
Yes.
I'm Jason.
I'm Nos. And this is a crazy-ass opinionated podcast.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Mostly video game stuff, but sometimes random shit, like, you know.
Dragon dildos.
That can't be a show title.
Right.
Dragon dildos.
Dragon dildo. Or real dolls.
Right? The fucking real doll episode is really good. I don't remember what fucking number it was, but oh my god.
All I know is Babs and I broke you with the FAQ.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know when I break, because I get up and fucking walk away. You can hear me still. Yeah. But yeah.
Or like Justin's fart the other day.
Well, I kind of digitally enhanced that one.
Nobody knew who it was until you said. But now I've been shamed.
You have been shamed.
We all get shamed at some point.
Heat advisory. It is hot and fuck
outside.
Speaking
of farts, it was amazing at work because...
What?
What? I farted at work. End of story. Thanks.
No.
Been eating protein powder.
So, one of the other supervisors at work got Ron's and got some chili cheese tots, right?
Ooh.
But she was like, this is too much for me to eat by myself. So she talked the supervisor who sits next to me into getting it. And he's walking past my desk and he's like, she talked me into it. And I was like, don't act tortured. You know you're going to love that fucking shit. And he's like, oh, I will. But after all this grease, I'll be in there 30 minutes later, pointing at the bathroom.
Awesome.
the most inspired random ass quote come off of me in a long time. Well, you know, dude, Jesus takes the wheel.
Wow. You've been saving that since what day?
Right?
Wow. Grab the handlebars. You're going for a ride.
Right?
That's what, the, hey, that's what those grab bars that, are for. The
exactly.
Big...
But that's just exactly why the best thing ever to do after a night of drinking is go get the greasiest fucking food you can.
Now, well, my go-to is Whataburger. Whataburger.
Mine is too. It seems to settle my stomach, strangely enough. It's built for drunk people.
It is. It is basically the only time I ever have Whataburger is when I'm...
Whataburger and Taco Bell.
I can't do Taco Bell. Oh my God. Taco Bell will fucking, like, it'll do something, but it's not the something I want.
I think their food's so heavily processed that there's just something that goes on.
There was the only time that I have anything from Taco Bell is when, this is stupid because I'm a big guy, somebody challenges me to one of the taco box challenges.
Are there like 10 tacos?
It's 10 or 12 tacos and soft tacos in a fucking taco box. And they're like, okay, we're both going to get the taco box. And we're going to go see who can get through these tacos the fastest. Like, okay, this is probably not good for me right now, but whatever. Soft tacos from there is... They're doable. They're tiny, but they're doable.
Right.
You know. That's the only ever time... I don't think I've actually gone to Taco Bell in the last... A couple of years. It was since I was in college that I did the last taco box challenge.
Yeah, I can't. I can only get the tacos are not bad, and sometimes I want a Frito burrito.
Yeah, honestly, I go there and I'll just like order a taco and grab a handful of their fire sauce because I like the fire sauce on my own tacos.
Yeah, their fire sauce isn't that bad. But honestly, the Chipotle hot sauce is like the best fast food hot sauce I've tasted in a long time.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Occasionally I have to do this weird... So, if you're doing low carb, you got to get real creative with how you eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That means like chopped double meat sub from Subway made into a salad with like vinegar and oil. Or it means going to Arby's and getting a whole bunch of meat and some au jus, which is also pretty boring. Or it's going to Chipotle or what's the other place that's just like Chipotle?
Qdoba.
It's just worse. And then just building a burrito bowl without rice or beans.
Right.
Which is just a meat bowl.
It's a meat bowl with some lettuce, like the shredded lettuce.
That's
like
kinda,
not even the good lettuce.
It's kind of not good. But if I get the hot sauce from Chipotle, that stuff is on another level of good. It also burns like crazy coming out. but it is...
As most like, good hot sauces
like, but it's good enough to drink. I really like it.
Cholula is that for me. I will use Cholula on everything.
He will.
I,
he got my fucking wife using Cholula on everything.
I've
never tried it.
Is it
less vinegary than like Louisiana?
Yes. Less vinegary.
Like Louisiana's decent, but that's got too much vinegar twang for me sometimes.
If you don't like the vinegar twang, try Cholula. It is a solid hot sauce. It's good. I like it.
Just add a zing to everything.
Yes. It is the only hot sauce that, okay, I have buffalo sauce and I have, you know, Cholula. Cholula goes on everything. Buffalo sauce goes for buffalo chicken wings. That's it. So those are the two hot sauces I do. And I will use Cholula on fucking, you know, eggs, sausage. I will use it on fucking, like, I will make burgers and just add that shit to the burger meat before I cook it. it's fucking good.
Now we're talking about food. You know, there's this other weird thing. So I finally got really serious about low carb. Like, I haven't cheated in 2 weeks. It's helped me quite a bit. Like, I've lost 5 pounds in 2 weeks, which is a pretty good start.
Yeah.
I got these sausage patties from Walmart, and I didn't look at it, but I was like, oh, okay, they have, like, half a carb a serving. I was like, I wonder what that is. It turned out they're maple flavored, but not sweet maple.
Uh-huh.
They're really not bad.
I don't...
Like, they're pretty... It's like the smell and the dull flavor without the sweet of maple. It's different. It's almost... It reminds me of pancakes, but it's not, because it's sausage.
Okay. I am...
I can't mix it with my eggs, but it is pretty fucking good.
Not a fan of the maple flavored anything sausage. Any of them. It's either going to be a mild, a hot, or a sage.
I usually get the spicy.
So
breakfast sausage.
If I'm adding it to eggs, like if I'm doing scrambled eggs and sausage, it's the spicy. If it is a sausage patty, it's the mild or the sage. And the sage is, it is,
if you know,
probably a 20% situation. I'll pick it up for a change in flavor, and that's about it.
It's a little bit different flavor.
It's a stronger flavor. So if you're having like, I will go through like when I do eggs, I'm like, I'll do 3 to 4 eggs, depending on the size of the eggs, and half of a roll of sausage, you know, cooked into patties. So that's one meal, basically. You know, throw some cheese on it, and good to go. Cook it in ghee. Throw some Cholula over all of it. Make it swim in Cholula, and you'll be fine.
So I'm going to move along from food.
Food.
Jason, you've done anything interesting this week?
To be honest, my brain's kind of been in a stress meltdown, so...
This guy. It's like, to be honest, I'm just...
I even got on the division, seeing if you were going to be on, and then I quickly realized I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
I was like, I didn't even know where I was going or what I was doing.
You should have texted me. I would have gotten on, but... I played the division the first couple days this week, and then after that, I've just been so tired from work that I've literally been rereading the Invincible comics all week. I haven't even started Luke Cage. That's how much of a funk I've been in.
Yeah, neither have I. I haven't watched the new season of Luke Cage either.
I mean, The Last Jedi showed up on Netflix the other day, and I haven't even watched that again yet.
Oh, that's on my list.
That should tell you how bad things are. But I did not watch the Star Wars movie when it showed up on Netflix.
I'm going to say, like, I've been in, you know, similar funk for different reasons altogether, and, like, I've been making a point to watch Netflix, which is weird for me. I created my own account, so because my account had been taken over.
Right.
And then I started watching things again, and I watched the first episode of Luke Cage. I watched the first episode of Jessica Jones. Actually, I got through about 3 episodes of Jessica Jones. And for some reason, I ended up liking a little bit better than Luke Cage.
I did too.
And then I went to, and I finished Lost in Space. And I started Altered Carbon. Like, I've done all that in a week, which is weird for me because that's more TV than I've watched in 6 months.
Yeah. It happens for me, it's random. So I will look at Netflix, see something that I want to watch, and then I will like laser focus that one thing all the way through the season or whatever, you know.
Well, sometimes I watch TV the way that I play games, and it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I can't do that. I just can't. I
think about it like in the days before things were completely serialized, and you had TV that you had to watch without a DVR.
Yeah,
and nothing was on demand.
Time.
And you would watch stuff when it came on that night. So you'd watch like 4 different shows in a week.
Were you VCR it? You could VCR it, right?
I didn't even do that. It was be home in time to watch the new X-Files episode, you know, or whatever it was, with the new Family Guy or the new Simpsons or whatever it was when I was younger.
Yeah, and that's like fucking. I don't think kids these days would even be able to understand that anymore. Like, growing up with DVRs and on-demand video and shit like that, if we missed the fucking X-Files when it came on,
we
had to pray that there was a rerun.
And they didn't really do them that often, so you'd wait till summer to figure out what happened, because that's when all the reruns were.
For me, it was, it was like the Next Generation. Star Trek The Next Generation, if I missed a fucking episode, I had to wait for the summer reruns to be able to catch that episode. And it's just like, all right, fine, fuck it. I'll just have to, like, deal with it.
I did the, like, cathartic clean thing. I went through and cleaned a few things in the house, and that kind of helped me get into my own headspace.
It helps. Throw some fucking, like, loud-ass fucking music on and just go to town.
Yeah, I was doing exactly that. I was listening to a podcast and found I couldn't pay enough attention, so I listened to, can't remember what album it was now. It was, like, three albums on shuffle. Three Slayer albums on shuffle.
There you go.
And I had it cranked up really fucking loud, and that was my cleaning music.
There you go.
But that totally worked. But I played some games. I played a lot of survival games, because it's kind of... And I've been playing a lot with Ren, so...
Sup, Ren?
Apocalypse Ren has been hitting me up for different things, and he got his PC up and running, so me and him have been playing... We played some 7 days to die the last couple days.
Sweet.
And then we played some Don't Starve Together. And he got that on the Steam sale on PC too, but we've been playing on PS4.
Okay.
It actually works really well on PS4. Huh. It doesn't take that long to get used to using a controller on that game. So it's really, it's pretty optimized.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on fucking everything. It's even on iPad. I mean, it's on fucking everything.
Right.
You
can control it with your eyes and your mind.
I mean, if they can figure out how to make that with touch controls, like, it's...
Right.
So that game is on fucking point. But, yeah, we play... Or they don't have Don't Starve Together on iPad. They have regular Don't Starve. But anyways, but yeah, we decided... We played that one night this week, and I had a lot of fun with it, goofing off. So then I played Don't Starve single player on PS4 just because I got it as part of that bundle when it was on sale.
Right.
So no mods or anything like that. I'm still pretty decent at that game.
I still suck at that game.
Day 35, I made it in about a day. And that was a night way too late spent playing. And then I jumped around and played some 7 days with Ren, and that really got me in the bug. I mean, when you came in, I was still playing the single player game that I'd started a couple hours before.
Oh, really?
I will give an update on 7 Days to Die.
Okay.
So, Alpha 17, which may be beta, comes out very soon. So within the next few weeks, they should have it ready. There's a lot of rumor that this is a beta, which means there are a lot of rumor about them not adding any new implements. The only thing they're really working on at this point is the quest system.
Yeah, polishing things.
And optimizing.
Yep.
But there is... I watched the update videos, because the main developer actually just records videos and talks about stuff in the sandbox version of the world.
Right.
While he's going through it and explaining stuff. Like, they've got... Like, they kind of made it a little bit arcadey, so there's, like, health bars in the zombies. So you can kind of see what kind of damage you need to do.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot more vehicles, so the broken cars that you can see, you can completely repair and turn into a drivable vehicle.
Sweet.
There are different vehicles. They come with, like, brush guards and stuff like that, so you can kill... You can kind of turn them into, like, Dawn of the Dead-style vehicle.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. And then they have some gyrocopters that they have implemented into the game for this next update.
Gyrocopters.
So you can build a helicopter and then fly over the world, as long as you have gas. But fly over the world and go to different points of interest.
Gas. It's one of the fucking things in this game that just sucks to get, is gas.
Well, you can tear apart cars and pick up gas now.
Well, that you can, I guess, if you pick up the oil drums from the gas stations, you can get a decent amount of gas out of it. But those vehicles use the fucking that gas.
You just need water, sand, and corn, and you make biofuel.
Water, sand, and corn. Okay.
And in my single player game, I spawned right next to the farm. I did the Navi's game map so that it was the one that's hyper focused.
Right.
Which also had a shitload more points of interest on the Alpha 16.4. which is the very latest alpha that came out about a month ago.
Right.
Or maybe it was more than a month ago, but anyways, the latest one. And there's they've added so many more buildings and things like that. They've got an extra guy that does just points of interest now and recrafts everything around the world.
Sweet.
So, and then I'm just genuinely having a lot of fun. I mean, I've got 550 hours in that game over the last 5 years, so I roughly played about 100 hours a year. it's evolved so much.
Yeah, I remember, like, the very first time I actually got in there was on that...
Very Minecraft.
You know, on the live stream, and it was not... Yeah, it was very Minecraft, actually.
No, you didn't get in on, like, Alpha 4 like I did.
Well,
like, at the super early alphas, like, the graph, there was no ground smoothing, and everything was built in a series of blocks. All the vectors were a series of blocks, almost just like Minecraft.
You know, it didn't have ground smoothing when I played it. It was the very first time we had actually streamed it.
The stream wasn't that early. I think it was like Alpha 10.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Was Alpha 7 or 8.
It was real early in its development, you know, the very first time that I actually got talked into playing a zombie game.
In fact, it was right after they added all of the crafting elements.
But before they did the simplified crafting, before they did the tiered crafting. So when you built a shotgun, it was a shotgun.
Yep.
Not a blue level shotgun or a fucking purple level shotgun or whatever. It didn't have varying damage, it just had damage. And it had the grid style Minecraft esque, you know, you had to, if you wanted to build a fucking like hoe, you had to put the okay, so maybe not that. Okay, so what he's showing me is
this is Alpha 4.
The Alpha 4 footage. Yeah, see, that's the grid style right there for crafting. You had to put sticks in the fucking row. But yeah, the Alpha 4 still had the placeholder outer edges to each block. That was gone. That was gone when I played it. So it was a little bit later than that. I don't know. I still enjoyed it.
You can look at these trees. They're all the same.
What? I'm looking at a field of sticks.
No. They've gone a long way with that game.
I do remember the most efficient way of taking a tree down when we were playing on the...
Was a shotgun at the base or something
like that? Well, no, it was a shovel at the base. You just, you take the four squares that of soil around it, and then it would just fall straight down, and it would give you more wood that way than if you would just chop it down.
Yep.
It was a weird game. It's still kind of a weird game, but I mean, if I've gotten that much playtime out of that, so that's back in 2013. I think that's when they released it. I think they released it on Alpha 4, and I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, that looks cool. I'll try that out. And it was a janky-ass $15 game, which is still kind of a janky-ass game, but the crafting's gotten a lot better, and it's very much more on a Skyrim level of combat, which, I mean, it's not great, but, like, there still has the sneak sign of Skyrim for the reticle. And then you can still get let me back it up. I'm showing Rusty some footage from Alpha 4. And I want you to just look at, come on, scoot up. I'll find it again here in a second. It showed a hill there, right here. Look at the hill to the left. And then, of course, he looks at everything else but the fucking hill. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Do you see how it looks like it's just built out of squares?
Yeah.
Like, that's how it used to look.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, that was... It wasn't quite Minecraft when I was playing it. So, yeah, maybe
this they looks did almost, it. This looked almost like a reskin of Minecraft.
Right. Well... The thing about 7 Days to Die, we talk about this fucking game a lot on this show, and it is...
It's one of my favorite indie games of all time. I have to say that. With the amount of time played.
Right. It's not one of those games.
I think it's a close call between 7 Days and Dark Souls at this point.
Dark Souls!
Cumulatively, I've played them about the same amount of time.
Right.
All the Souls, so 2 and 3, probably about 100 hours apiece, and then 1, I have like 300 or 400 hours in. Because I beat it 3 times.
I just the amount of fucking absolute rage and the amount of controllers that have gone through by then, holy fuck. See, 7 Days to Die is one of those games that we set aside our it doesn't need to be eye candy, you know, situation where
it never has to be eye candy for me.
You know, and
it just has to have good gameplay.
Yeah, it
has fundamentals.
Honestly, it didn't have the best gameplay, but what it did have was the ability to just do whatever the fuck you want and have the extra element of having fucking zombie hordes that you had to...
It's a crafting and survival game, and they're doing better with the survival, so they did something really weird with this last update. They despawned almost all the animals, and that's
problematic. Crazy.
The way they despawned all the animals, they just set them to an invisible integer so that they're in the world, but they're not visible. Yeah. Nor do they run into anything. I guess they clip through everything, but they didn't want to remove them. It's just, I guess, pathing or something was broke, so they just made most of them invisible. So, like, 95% of the animals they had in there were invisible, and I watched a video of somebody who re-enabled that feature, and it looks like a fucking farm, like, all over. Like, there are tons and tons and tons of animals, and zombies just going nuts.
Oh, wow.
Because it's just, you know, it's a buffet everywhere.
Wow. Okay, Maybe they need to tone it down, but it gets bad sometimes. Like, I spent entire days in-game, you know, just running around trying to find a pig.
And there's some things that are different now that you wouldn't like as much. Like, the tunneling thing is not really a thing right now. So tunneling for minerals is kind of a really inefficient way to do it, but there's a lot more mineral rocks on the surface.
Right.
To encourage you to explore and go forward and deconstruct things for your metal.
I want the mines. I want the old dynamite set up.
But they've done a lot of things with, like, they've noticed people like walkways, so like walkways that you can shoot through and things like that. Me and Ren found a boat dock that had like these two metal buildings. It was like a set up like a marina and a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to it was like a, they set up, looks like a little resort, like a little cabin resort.
Yeah.
And all points of interest that we've never visited. And there's a house with a cobblestone foundation that's like 6 blocks tall with the foundation that we tore down the stairs on and turned that into our first permanent residence, you know, along with the spikes and everything else. And
right.
It's just, I was like, so I've got an idea. We'll put a catwalk like 5 blocks high and leave it even with the second floor door. And then we'll have a way of looking down and shooting at the zombies that get on the spikes underneath us. So now we have a walkway that goes all the way around this little house on the second level that we can just walk around outside with guardrails so we don't just accidentally fall into the spikes. And then we've got a really good shooting platform now for doing that. We survived our first, our first 7-day night, today. We've just been having a blast, and it's been optimized a little bit more. Like, I'm running it on way better settings than I've ever read it on before, and it's on an older card.
Right.
Not a superior card. And
it's good enough.
It's good enough. It's chugging along just fine. And then I saw you to kind of springboard it. I saw you playing a game that I thought you would never, ever, 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 ever play. What game was that, Rusty?
Yeah, so me going off on zombie games as much as I do, Steam sales happened, and I've been playing Dying Light.
That inspired me to go ahead and get the expansion pack, which I never got, for $10, which includes all that DLC that's on there, like every little bit of it.
Yeah, it was super affordable for the whole thing, but with DLC and everything, it was like $20.
Which is super worth it for that game.
Yeah, and the normal price is, which I think is like $60 for the game plus DLC. So I figured the only way that I was going to buy this game is with if it was on a pretty deep sale, and this was a pretty decent price for it. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and give it a try. I heard that the parkour and and the combat system alone makes the game playable.
It has some of the best melee combat of any game I've ever played.
It's not fucking bad. For a zombie game, I'll preface that because I absolutely fucking hate zombies as a monster. It's just overdone. Just find something new. But still, the parkour in this game, it takes a little getting used to, but once you do, once you start skilling up on it, it becomes a little easier to do things. At the beginning, it just sucks. But for me, what makes the game is the parkour and the fact that it's a zombie game that actively, tries to, move you away from using a gun all the fucking time. Like, ammo is super rare. Using a gun fucks you up because you'll end up getting harder and harder zombies coming after you because of the whole noise thing. Mm-hmm. It actively makes you want to use silent ways of taking things down, grapple moves,
stomp finishers. They're like WWE moves.
Yeah.
There's some pretty ridiculous moves in that.
Yeah. My favorite way of taking out a fucking zombie horde is one at a time, grapple them into a fucking chain, into one of the spike fucking walls, and have, 50 fucking zombies just basically pancaked onto fucking spikes there on a wall.
The way that you can aim stuff and dismember selective parts of a zombie is pretty crazy, or break their bones.
I have a garden sickle that I basically just upgraded it decent damage, and it's like, okay, fuck it. I've been using wrenches and hammers for most of the fucking game because that's the most common weapons that you can pick up. So I got this garden sickle, man. Fuck yeah, I'm gonna be able to do some damage. I swung it and it fucking took off. It took off both the fucking arms of the zombie coming at me, so it's just a torso with a biting head on top of it. Nom, nom, nom. Whoa.
It's also, cool. Over-the-top gory at times, too.
Kind of. Yeah. If you ever get real close to the spitter zombies, and just watch their idle animation, every so often they'll throw up their guts, through their mouth. The fucking, intestines and stomach will come out their mouth, and then they'll suck it back in.
Oh, that's gross.
That's totally awesome.
that just happened. And of course the night and day mechanics, I actually find it more, if I need to get from point A to point B quickly, do it during the day. But I find the challenge of doing night runs, and avoiding the fucking, night stalker, fucking, evil bastards that you can't basically kill without really fucking up your day. I like the avoidance factor of that because they've got the little sight cones. It kind of reminds me of fucking Metal Gear in that regard. And if you end up with a pursuit, you can use the UV lights and UV traps to kind of, try to lose them, but it has a GTA 5 style fucking, threat meter that keeps going up after, the longer the pursuit goes on, the more of those fucking zombies start adding up. I've gotten up to 4. And, basically was just doing a big circle around the fucking safe area, waiting for all of these fucking things to get up to the fourth level of threat so that I can jump over the fucking wall and say, evaded. You get a bunch of fucking experience if you do that.
I forgot about the Night Stalkers.
Yeah, if you evade the Night Stalkers, you'll get a bunch of agility experience. And I've been,
and it has kind of that weird Oblivion style leveling system too.
Yeah, you get experience by doing something, which is good, because you'll have your survivor experience, which is basically quests and, you know, collecting items. Your agility experience for doing, you know, parkour basically, or evasions, and then you've got your combat experience for just killing zombies. So, and then of course, once you get up to a point where you've maxed out those, there's legend experience, which allows you to basically continue gaining experience after the game's done.
Well, and the thing about that game is it's kind of like Techland Skyrim. I saw some, it's funny that you started playing that because I was on the verge of doing it again, and I don't remember who did it, but there was a couple of different articles that popped up in the last few months that were talking about. I read one in particular about a guy, it might have been Rock Paper Shotgun or PC Bag or something like that, about one of the main guys that doesn't like zombie games but keeps going back to Dying Light because it's a very well-crafted game.
Yes. If it was anything other than zombies, I'd be all right.
But it's got quests, it's got good melee combat, it's got a good stealth system, it's got a decent story, it's got a really good sense of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't ever really let off the gas on the difficulty either. Like, I feel like everything's dangerous and a few fuck-ups can kind of ruin your day. And it's got the stamina management. Like, it's on a combat level of like a Neo or a Dark Souls or something like that, but just... And it's got a really cool factor with the combat, too. Like, doesn't it do, like, the x-ray thing when you break their bones and stuff like that?
Yes, so...
Some, like, agility moves where you can do, like, it's like a jump double kick thing that'll, like, break a bone or something like that.
You can
drop from the roof and, like, do a power slam.
Yes. So you can do power slams, which, if you were wielding a two-handed weapon, jump off of a roof and hit B, you'll... slam the ground with your two-handed weapon and it'll do like a radius around you of, you know, like throw fucking zombies all over the place. You've got the drop kick, so if you're running, you jump and you hit kick, you will just throw both feet out in front of you and just like slam a fucking zombie into a wall or whatever.
But well, and then you got the environmental kills, too. Like, if you see, like, spikes or something protruding, like, that's a really good move because it's an insta-kill.
Pretty much. Well, not always. Or
sometimes it's an instant impale, and then they just sit there and try to grab you.
For me, I find the little, like, spike, like, the anti-tank spikes is what it looks like. It's, they're just rebar in a star, configuration. And normally, they're around gates or whatever. But I'll just run around them, and as the zombies just kind of shamble towards me, trying to fucking, grab me, they'll fucking impale themselves on the spike and just kind of hang there, going,
I might as well finish off the experience,
Right. Right. So, it has its moments. I said, this is what I thought, Dying Light is what I thought Dead Island was supposed to be.
Better team.
Right. And
Granted, Dead Island, I feel like in the end they were rushed to meet a deadline because there was a few glitches with that game.
And they basically took everything that they wanted to do for Dead Island and put it into Dying Light.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of scrapped the whole whole character.
Where you had like individual characters that had abilities.
Right. They just scrapped that and just, and said, okay, we're just going to make this fucking like, Mirror's Edge, the zombie game.
I think the parkour part of it does just fine. Like, it's an interesting way to traverse the game. And when everything is roaming the streets, like, it makes sense to have a guy that can parkour over everything.
Right. I will fucking run down a street and just vault over guys. You can basically Mario hop over fuckers. It was amazing.
It's definitely video gamey, but it's... And there's a point in the game where you get more powerful weapons where it does make sense when you're getting a swarm like that to go out and pull out heavy weapons and just, like, mow shit down, and that's pretty satisfying.
I've got, I picked up a fucking, pickaxe that I've modified for fucking impact, and you can get a skill that allows you basically to do a fucking whirlwind, with a two-handed weapon. So, I've fucking, the zombies will be coming at me and I'll just fucking do this big fucking like whirlwind. Of course, it's all first person, so you are fucking like spinning. But fucking zombies' heads are flying, and you know, it's sometimes if you do a crit, the time will slow down just enough so that you can see the damage that you did to the fucking zombie. It's enjoyable. I have favorite zombie games. 7 days in this one, okay, and I'm only like maybe 25% into the story in this, and I'm enjoying it. So,
it's a pretty long game too. I mean, I don't know how long the expansions are, and I beat the main game a long time ago, but I want to say it was about 60 plus hours. That's a pretty good length for an RPG, and I didn't do everything. It was just I got to a point where something else was coming up, and I decided to beat it.
Yeah. I'm finding my enjoyment of playing this on PC. I can basically turn the fucking graphics to maximum. Game looked beautiful.
Oh, the game looks like a current gen game.
Yeah, game looks.
Well, I mean, beautiful. It's only 3 years old, but I mean, it's on an engine that is definitely isn't showing the tales of time. You know,
right? It still looks great. All the lighting effects and you know, there's a lot of polish that went into this game that I can see. There's still quirkiness. I mean, with the amount of systems that they've got in there, of course, there's going to be a few quirks. I have parkoured through an awning, and I have dropped through. I've dropped through the world once, but whatever.
I mean, as big as that game is, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's. It's not a big deal, but I like it. I like it a lot, actually. Probably going to play more of it when I get back home.
You know, it's got multiplayer, too.
I saw the co-op.
Co-op. So I could take a character, or you could take a character and be like, oh, I'll help you out with that. And you get XP for it. It doesn't progress your game, but it does allow you to play multiplayer.
Okay.
Originally, the reason I got it on PC is me and Holly were wanting to play it together, and for whatever reason, she didn't buy it on, I guess I had it on Xbox One, or I can't remember what system I had. But I had it on a system, and I think I since traded it since I have it on PC, but she found it on a Steam sale, and she's like, oh, I picked up two copies. It was a base game, and at that time, it was like on a $15 sale or something.
Right.
So that's the reason I have it on PC, but I haven't played a lot of it, because we spent one long weekend playing a whole bunch of it. And then I never jump back on, and then she plays games very much the same way I do, so her ADD kicked in, she did something else, probably started playing Minecraft again, and then forgot about it.
Yeah, I would like to see the co-op. I have been playing solo
I'm like I have all these games I need to play.
Right.
And I'm back on my crafting kick because it's pretty cathartic. I almost cracked open Minecraft again.
I was gonna say, I almost fucking started up Ark again.
Well, I saw some people from work playing Ark the other day, and it was a couple of people I wouldn't have mind jumping on with, and I was like, that could be fun.
Yeah, and every so often I get this kick for fucking, like, you know,
I almost messaged the dude, and I was like, hey, do you want another one? Do you need any help?
Right,
I'm feeling the bug.
Do you need another survivor? We'll do this.
I even kicked in some VR this week too. I will say, I had to refigure out a bunch of stuff with PSVR to make it work better. And I watched some videos. It shouldn't be this hard. And my main issue is I'm playing PSVR in a very small space.
Right.
And basically, what I did is I positioned the camera and I figured out what it could see. So just turn on the camera in calibration mode to figure out what angle it needed to be to see everything. And I realized that if I could position it for me to stand or I could position it for me to sit if I was going to be that close. So the reason the couches move so far back in the living room
yeah.
is because I also need to move that glass table out of the way. And if I sit there or stand there where that couch is at, it can see everything no matter what I do, and I don't have any tracking issues. Okay. Where my tracking issues are coming from is because the angle that that lens views, it doesn't see my hands once they drop below my waist. So that's where my issue's been. So I there was a VR sale, and I picked up a couple of VR, or I picked up a VR game, and then I picked up a Dying Light, which I didn't ever jump back into. I should have, but I didn't feel like doing it. I picked up a game called Archangel that's been on my wish list for a while. Not real wish list, but right. something that I, it was like $5 or something like that, which is perfect because it's normally a $30 VR game. All VR games are more expensive. And it's an on-rails mech shooter thing. So I figured this won't kick in my nausea or anything like that. And it lets you punch things and it lets you shoot things and you got shields that you got to raise. Works really cool with the motion controls because you have incoming fire, you click the button and pull up your arm and then you block it with the shield. You take your other hand and then shoot the thing from behind the shield, like, or kind of around the shield. I also realized too that like I don't have a really good idle position for my hands when nothing's going on, and I tend to raise my hands above my head. Well, the robot can't raise his hands above his head, so he does this weird like T-Rex motion with his wrists, and it looks like you remember the crane move in like the Karate Kid? My mech is literally doing this when I put my hands on my head, and he's kind of walking around like that with his hand, with his wrist limp and at head level, and it looks ridiculous. Every time, because I tend to like just like rest my hands on my head with both controllers when nothing's going on.
Oh my gosh.
And I just kind of looked over to the left and the right, and I was like, "What am I doing with my hands?" Well, and then I moved my hand a little bit, and it's like,
"Praise the sun!"
Like, and so, and you also have a tendency too, and I don't know what it is, but like I tend to wave at things while I'm in VR, and I don't know why. So just to see the hand movement, and. So I tended to wave at, like, the tanks before I'd shoot them. Like, wave goodbye.
Goodbye.
And then shoot them.
It's going to be bad for you. Bam.
But I played that for a couple hours, and so far it looks really decent for any game. But in VR, because of the reduced resolution on PSVR, it actually looks pretty clean. Okay. Which is a really good thing. So it, and also with it being on rails with the movement, doesn't seem to get to any kind of nausea. And I wasn't in the mood to get used to VR again to play it. So it was kind of a good sit in my chair and just goof off. It's got some horrible voice acting in it, though.
Yeah, of course.
The voice acting is super fucking cheap. In the first, like, couple of minutes, somebody dies that's important to you. And
it's...
Well... Okay, so I'm going to spoil it because there's no attachment here. It happens 5 minutes into the game.
Okay.
You're a dude and, like, Broski McBrofer fun. Like, he's...
A Broski.
He's a super bro, and he's in this train with his kid. His kid's, you know, really into seeing his dad get into the big mech suit. And he's all excited and all this stuff, and he's watching it from the control tower. And then everything, like, gets under attack in the room. And then the control tower, like, falls down. You try to catch the tower, and you catch it, and then it blows up in your hands, like the child and everything. And, like, you're supposed to have an emotional moment, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's... No. And then everything from that point on is just like, I'm going to be dark because my child died to the robots.
I am so terrible. The world sucks. I'm going to blow it up with my mech arms.
Like, and it's a really T-Rex poorly, arms. Poorly voice acted like angst from that point going forward, which is pretty comical. But
I don't care about your politics.
I just
want to kill zombies.
Well, and it's all like soldiers and tanks and all sorts of like future tanks and like future flyers and little bosses.
What do you
and
mean stuff. There's no zombies? Those mechs are zombies. They just don't know it yet.
But. I'm not real good at the game either. I need to block a lot more often. But I was just in a weird mood when I was playing it because I was just like, I'm just going to shoot shit. But on rails, it just worked fine. I mean, I've got a lot of little VR games that are just good tests. The only real substance game I have is probably Thumper, which just works in VR.
I just want I I want to play Beat Saber. I know I'm going to be terrible at it, but I want to play this game.
I want to watch either of you play it without watching the VR and just see what that looks like.
It's going to look like freaking idiots flailing around. Like,
I feel like it would be a good aerobics workout that I would be very willing to do.
Yeah,
I really hope there's a hum.
A hum.
To the saber.
Yeah. It's got to have that.
It better have a
hum. It's, well, yeah. I don't know.
It's got to have a hum. The hum is a part of it. But it is an essential fucking part.
But it's not really officially tied to Star Wars in any way, is it?
No.
That doesn't matter. All laser swords should hum.
Laser swords.
Well, I mean, they are calling it a saber. Okay. Even though sabers are curved, I've never understood that about Star Wars.
Yeah, well, it's a thing. Don't get too deep into it because lightsaber
sounds lightsaber sounds a lot cooler than light sword though.
Laser sword. That was the original name for them, was the Jedi laser swords.
And that just sounds way more dorky than lightsaber.
It does. Vibroblade.
Right. Now that's a totally different sound.
It's what I shave with, a vibroblade.
I never read the books, and for whatever reason, they don't make a big point out of them in the movies.
What, vibroblades?
Yeah.
No.
Not until the newer movies. But they had them in, like, Knights of the Old Republic, and the first thing I thought about when I heard the term vibroblade is, like, vibrator.
Vibrator. In a blade. Wah. Yep. Okay. The batteries are out. Gotta shake it. Shake weight.
Get shake weighty with it.
Do you remember, and I won't name where we worked, but do you remember we had one girl that used to work where we used to work that had a shake wake that would get used all the fucking time?
Yes.
I don't remember who it was, but I do remember just, like, you just look over the cubicles and you just see somebody jacking off that shake weight. And they were pretty religious about it. What are you
doing? I'm charging my phone.
Like, both hands using just, that thing.
They had a, so, yeah.
They didn't last very long, did they?
No.
Can you buy a shake weight now?
Yes, you can. Bed Bath & Beyond, they're still on the fucking shelves, man.
Really?
Yes. That's...
I wonder how expensive they are.
I don't imagine that they're very expensive, but yeah, that's the only place I've ever found them. I go to
eBay for $20.
eBay for $20. Only slightly used.
Oh, one on eBay for $10.
That one's definitely used. Probably needs disinfectant.
You can't insert it in anything.
It doesn't matter.
But I mean, if you're good with a shake weight, does that make you good at other things?
I don't imagine so. I mean, it's not like the other motion has that much resistance to it. So do you really need that much, like, strength to do that?
I don't know that I want that much strength applied.
It would basically be like, oh, well, this is going to happen. Oh, shit, I just tore it off. That's a bad thing.
I could exercise with that. Maybe I should do it at work. Just be at my desk.
I've got a shake weight for both hands. Just do that. Make sure you've got a thigh master going
at the same time.
All I can see is this.
Well, you just wait until I do my squats.
All I can see is Justin sitting there, moobs bouncing, like
boing boing boing. Hey, would you stop? Like, seriously? Did you stop? Please, whoever came up with shake weights, man, gold. You are fucking, like, you have made the internet for years now, so.
Well, I mean, it just looks like you're jacking off a weight.
Jack weights.
Well, I mean, they even made a fucking joke about it in Deadpool. I mean, come on.
Shake weight?
Yeah. I don't know about your pitch. It's a little bit more, could be a little bit more slap chop, a little less shake weight.
Right.
So, moving on a little bit. Rusty, did you play anything else?
I did pick up another thing. I did pick up the Final Fantasy 15 Windows version. And
did you load it up long enough to see how pretty it was?
Yes, that's pretty much all happened. I went through the initial tutorial and found that that game just has to be played with a controller. I cannot play it with a keyboard and mouse. It just doesn't work for me. But I can tell you that it looks fan-fucking-tastic, and all of the things that I had problems with on the Xbox when I was playing it was that the frame rate would actually dip in certain places.
Probably wasn't on an Xbox One X.
It was not on an Xbox One X, Jesus Christ. But fucking rub that shit in a little bit more, huh? I'm going to go out and fucking...
I don't have a 4K TV to support it anymore.
I'm going to go out and buy
a fucking... I have two 4K consoles and no 4K TV.
Well, I have none of these things. I just want speed. Consistent frame rates, please. Thank you. But I play it on my fucking, you know, on my PC. And just the one-room training area with Carbuncle in it was running at fucking maximum frames. So... it looks pretty. It looks real good. Probably play that a little bit later on after I'm done with Dying Light. I just kind of needed... I'm not done with Monster Hunter by any means, but I needed something different, and I think that the frame rate issues that I'm running into with the Xbox is really kind of making it harder for me to play Monster Hunter on the Xbox. I need the One X. So that I can have consistent frame rates. The frame rates are really bothering me on that. I am all about speed. So
I don't blame you.
You know, with the fast attacking weapons, like long blade or dual daggers, or anything like that, you want to see all of the pretty, and you're missing frames. On the Xbox One. So I'm gonna get an Xbox One X. It's just me talking myself into it. Right now I'm looking at getting a new controller for the Xbox, and I'm like, well, if I'm gonna get a new controller,
yeah,
I could probably just tack on a couple $100 and get the One X. So if I can justify the controller and trade my One for a One X, then it might be worth it in my brain. But, I mean, I did just buy a car, so I gotta figure that shit out, too. But no, I haven't actually played many other games. I've been, been looking through the Steam sale, and honestly...
You have everything?
I don't... all the ones that I really want to play. You know, I've got stuff on my wish list I could probably pick up, but... They're just things to kind of check off the list. They would just end up in a bucket someplace for a rainy day game. And I'm not sure if I'm in the market for any more rainy day games.
I got the Telltale games. I got the Guardians of the Galaxy game because it was on half price. And I bought the Batman, the follow-up to the last one, because that last one was really good.
Batman...
They had that first one that Jason got me into last year that was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And then they had the other one that
I forget what Batman Season 2 is
called. I forget what it's called, but it's Season 2, and if it's anything as good as the last one, they just finished it. I'm like 100% in, and at $14.99, it was definitely on my list. But I got a lot of rando stuff. Like, I've been eyeballing that...
Enemy Within.
Yeah. I've been eyeballing that 40K... Warhammer 2 game, but I don't want to spend $45 right now.
Right.
And I've been eyeballing Vermintide, but I need somebody to play Vermintide with. I'm almost looking for it on a sale on Xbox so I can see if I can get more people to play it. It's been a really highly rated game this year, and I feel like I should play it. It's only $19 on Steam.
Don't look at me like that.
I mean, it's just Horde mode with swords and axes and...
Replacing zombies with rats.
Rats and other things. It's Warhammer characters.
Okay. All right. This is... So, I'm not a big fan of the Warhammer franchise. So, every time I've played a Warhammer game, I've had a bad time of it. That is miniatures and video games. So, it really has not caught me.
I'm going to say something real quick. Just because I've been shopping and just this just came to light, and I don't know what just came out. But you can get a 55-inch anything 4K right now for under $500.
Yeah.
At 120 hertz. And it wasn't that way 2 weeks ago, and I was looking at TCLs.
Yeah. Just imagine what Black Friday's going to be like.
I don't know if I can wait that long.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday, fucking, this year's going to be...
That's just going to be...
Everybody's going to get 4K TVs.
I'm going to get an
SSD. You get a 4K TV, you get a 4K
I'm going to get an SSD and probably a video card. But I might get the video card before that.
You need a fucking SSD now, dude. You are running, like... You are running... there's thumb drives bigger than your fucking boot drive, man.
I know. There are SIM cards for, or the SD cards for your Nintendo Switch that are bigger than that.
Yes. My fucking phone has more memory than your fucking boot drive does.
How many gigs is it?
But you have like a 60, don't you?
Yeah, it's a 60.
Okay. This has got 128 gigs in it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the size of a stick of gum.
So, you need an upgrade. You need to get some very specific upgrades. SSD size alone would definitely help.
Well, I think it's a good time for a break. What do you guys think?
Sure. Sure. Well, let's take a break.
We'll be back.
Yes. Yes, we are back.
It's time for that news section.
That news thing that we do sometimes.
We got going down a rabbit hole of TVs and Fallout.
Mostly Fallout. And some TVs. Yeah.
But mostly Fallout.
But there's something that we didn't talk about at all that I think that you'll be pretty interested in hearing about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you remember that space game that we play sometimes called Elite Dangerous?
Yeah, this is the thing that...
Did you know that Beyond Season 2 update just dropped?
Oh, shit, really? Yep. Oh, Jesus Christ, here's another fucking game. I break out the fucking HOTAS again.
So...
Be fine.
They've updated mining. They've added more weapons, so now you have large plasma shot cannons, large Guardian shard cannons, large Guardian plasma launchers, and two ships, the Challenger and the... Let's see, what's the other one called? Another ship.
The Crate?
Is it? I think it's called the Crate, yeah. For around, I think the entry level for that's like 45 mil. But...
Still a lot of grinding, but hey. I mean, if you've been playing the game for a while... And they've added a
whole bunch of different missions and a whole bunch more alien ships. One of the things I was reading is the legs update has not come, and what the legs is being able to walk around.
Right.
And that's one of the things they've been focusing on, but having a hard time implementing for one reason or another. The character models, I mean, while they're 3D and things like that, like, there's no animation.
Right.
Well, aside from your hands in a ship.
So, ambulation, or the ability to walk around, has been, you know, been requested for a while. I remember when Eve did it, they threw this out there. They're like, oh, you can walk around now, but it's basically a corridor from, like a room, your quarters, walk down a corridor and, you know, go to like the bay. So we're watching the video for Horizons 2. New ships. Of course,
The new ships look nice.
Yeah, Elite looks fucking amazing. So this one, actually, the biggest change, I mean, obviously having a couple new ships is great, but
new weapon types is kind of a big deal.
For me, the mining update needed to happen. You know, and if I remember correctly, I watched some
let me confirm that videos. Because there was a...
I don't think the mining update's here. I think the mining update is later on in the year. But I did see a bunch of stuff about the mining stuff. So, I think beyond Chapter 2...
Which is free.
...includes the Crate Mark 2, which is... It's a fighter ship, big fighter ship, and then the Challenger, which is a durable, like tanky style ship for to go against the Thargoids. So it says a new mining wing mission is
But they're talking about kind of making mining more interesting and.
So what they're talking about in, I think it's the Beyond 3, which is going to be later on in the year. They're talking about being able to use or having different classes of mining laser. In the mining laser, there's going to be a different scanning suite. They were talking about putting all of the different suites into one. Like module bay, kind of like what you have for vehicle bays. You slot a vehicle bay and then you put a vehicle in it, right?
Right.
What they're talking about doing is being able to take all of those little modules, like the detailed surface scanner, the mining scanners, all of those different things, putting those individual modules. You'll still be able to buy the individual modules at the level that you want. But you'll be able to slot them into a specific bay on the ship. So you'll have a sensor cluster, basically. But what they're going to do, they're building that into the additional scanners that you can put into the ships. And then you'll have three different kinds of mining laser or mining capabilities. So it'll be surface... surface deposits, which is basically what's going on right now, is you just mine the surface, a rock will come out, you send out a limpet, and you pick it up or you scoop it, right?
Yep.
There is a subsurface layer, which requires you to hit a specific point. You use the scanner to find the points, and you hit that specific point. And depending on your aim, not an arbitrary number, but depending on your aim, you'll be able to get those get the materials out of there. Those are going to be a little harder to get, so the value will go up a little bit. And then there's going to have a deep core mining option for some asteroids, where you have to scout out specific fissures in the asteroid and send in a drill bomb into specific fissures at specific points. And once you send the first one out there, it'll drill to its depth, and you go around and you have to hit so many in a specific time frame. And at that point, if you do it properly, it'll split the asteroid into sections. And you have to be far enough away from the asteroid so that your ship doesn't get damaged, but you'll be able to get really rare resources from the core of asteroids. So it's like fucking the Armageddon-style fucking way of doing asteroid mining, which I think is cool, because what they're taking is, instead of just going to a random fucking, random rock, space rock, and just hitting it a couple times just to see what will pop out of it, you can kind of get a little deeper into the mining, and it becomes a little more engaging than just, you know, rocking up to a fucking space rock and shooting it, you know?
Right.
And that's really what's needed for mining in a game. I mean, I mined primarily in Eve, and that was basically shoot a rock with a laser. Done.
Well, that's how it's been kind of with Elite too, though. Shoot rock with laser, fire limpets, collect rock.
Right. So all of the current systems in place will allow you to you'll still be able to use them. So you'll use your mining sample limpets to try to find out what's in a rock. And then you will use your mining lasers to take samples from that rock to determine what kind of attack that you need to go for. And then you scan the rock some more to find out what you want out of it. But the idea of splitting a fucking asteroid in half to get at the juicy innards, yes, make it happen. That shit's going to be fucking fantastic. I might actually get into mining in this game. And if the resources are rare enough to do that and make it worthwhile, because one of the biggest things that people look at in Elite is how much time to do a thing, right? So how much time do I need to spend beating rocks to get 1 million credits, you know? Or if I get into a fucking combat ship, will that be faster?
Right.
You know, and right now, the way that mining works, it is the lowest paid job in the fucking game that you could do. And it's the least engaging. It's boring. So it's must be done. Must be fixed. So they're planning on that. That's what I'm looking forward to. The extra ships may give us different loadouts, because right now the end game for Elite is the big three. You know, you're going to use one of these three, you know, these three ships. You're using the Anaconda, the Corvette, and what was the other one? Fuck, I don't know. I can't remember. I don't remember exactly the third one. I've been kind of disconnected from Elite for a little bit, but I've been keeping up on it. I get their newsletters every month.
I get the newsletter, and I noticed the update, and I was like, oh yeah.
So, yeah.
And I was thinking about it, but of course, now that I'm
fucking HOTAS, man.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. It's TV, graphics card, HOTAS.
Yes! Yes! See, I bought the HOTAS. I played Elite for like a couple days with the HOTAS, and that's it. So I packed it up and I set it aside because I've got other things I was playing. So, but yeah, give me a fucking give me a reason to, you know, drag that bitch out and relearn those controls. I'll be fucking right on it.
So there's something that came up in E3 a little bit, but just kind of died down because there wasn't a lot of information. Have you guys heard of Yeti?
Yeti.
So
there's a lot of Yetis.
Okay, yeah, but not the cup.
Okay.
And not the cooler. But in relation to Google. So Google's trying to do a service kind of like OnLive. They've hired a whole bunch of game developers recently. And they've also hired a whole bunch of people to do a streaming service. So they're going to they want to find a way of essentially doing something like OnLive. So give me a fast internet connection. Set up controller, and then play video games on our beefy-ass machines on the back end, and then have that stream everything to your PC via the internet.
Okay.
But it is something that's kind of in the works. Like, is it going to work or not? Who knows? But, I mean, I had an OnLive subscription for all of 2 months. And when OnLive launched, what was that, like 6 years ago or 7 years ago? I had a fast internet connection and it dived on me sometimes. And then I had a shitty game selection. So
right.
All the games were 3 or 4 years old. I don't remember that any of the games at that time were that recent. It was all like older PC or Xbox 360 games. And I think the only game of note, I want to say I played Arkham Asylum on it, which is a good game. But like I would sometimes run into issues with streaming on that. And it seem like it does that thing that streaming video does with Netflix, where it would lower the video quality at certain points to keep up with the frame rate.
Yeah.
And we don't have a real consistent internet infrastructure anywhere, except for places Google Fiber. So I'm just kind of curious as to what happens. And if Google launches this alongside with saying, hey, we have Google Fiber available in all major cities, then it'd be something I'd be willing to try, but I'm pretty satisfied with the...
See,
I like the hobby side of PC gaming.
Exactly. I kind of like having my own rig.
I like having my own box under my TV.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in 10 years, I'm going to look back on these comments and say,
"Yeah,
Nos, you're an idiot. Like, why would you want to keep all that shit in your living room?" And I was looking at game rooms today because I'm kind of in a decorating phase, and I spent an inordinate amount of time looking at a bunch of different examples of how to set up a game room, except it's going to be more likely my living room.
Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I saw one in particular, a setup where somebody basically set up the library of video game. And I thought to myself,
yes,
that should happen. I might not have sex for a long time, but that should happen.
Yes.
Like, maybe I won't hang a Mario poster up next to it, but...
Okay.
But I like having the physical content. That's the one way that Steam... I even thought about this. I was like, if there was a way to just, like, digitally show... Like, if I was digitally show my collection with Steam...
Oh, God, no. Oh, my God. The fucking, like, Library of Shame? Holy shit.
I just pick what I like to show off.
No.
But
digital posters. Fucking like,
right?
You know, make digital content physical using a digital poster. Boom. You know, they've already got like the fucking e-ink fucking, you know, displays, right? Make that shit in color, throw that up on a fucking wall, boom, done. Now I can look through all of my fucking like this. I'll have a poster for the pile of shame, all the games that I shouldn't have bought.
You know how far down this rabbit hole I went?
Oh, God. Here we go.
So here's what I was thinking. So you could write a program, and I'll tell you how this works. So the first thing you do is you go get a whole bunch of blank DVD boxes, and you print out the artwork for the game and put it on the box, right?
Right.
And then you connect that somehow to some kind of actuator switch so that when you pull it off the shelf in the predefined spot that it is, it writes, you have it tied to, you program it to that particular tine or whatever it is that you pull it out. So when you pull it out, it syncs up with the search function in Steam and searches for that game and then pulls it up and then you just hit play.
No way. See, I would just, you know what I would do? I would take that to another fucking level.
Like, so, I figured out how to... I was thinking in my head, here's all you do. So you put Steam in full screen and you figure out what the percentage definition it is. And then you set the mouse to go into the text field where the search is always on the Steam overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull it out, it types in the title for that and then hits the enter key.
See, I would take that to a whole other level. Because
I don't think there's a keyboard command to hit play.
I'm good with... I've been playing around with different lighting solutions for my place. I already got like an Amazon device and
You could pretty easily set up Alexa, I think.
So what I would do is I see your way of doing things, but I would also have that selector change the mood lighting to match the game. And you could get the little LED strips and put them behind the fucking TV for like you know backlighting for the television, and change the fucking, you know, whenever you pull a game, the rest of the like the normal lights in the house dim, so that it knows you're playing a game. It sets the mood light on the TV. It configures the controller for that game automatically, so you don't have to do anything. And you just basically hit play, boom, you're in. It's like, jack me into the Matrix, baby. That'd be fucking amazing. I think if I could
take a day in Visual Basic, I could write that.
And if I had unlimited money, it would happen.
I was looking at people's like home theater setups for like richer houses, and I was like, I could gamify that.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. That would be amazing.
Anyways, the last story I had, and then I'm... Actually, Jason, do you have a story?
Not really much. I did find one about... Valve actually announced at their developers conference, pretty much, that they are working on an alternative to Steam Spy, since all their new privacy policy changes really affected that.
Good, because that was the story I was going to talk about. Well, we've been talking about the Steam Spy thing for several weeks now.
Right. Yeah. It's a tool for a lot of, you know, a lot of things.
It's something I've been using for a couple years.
Right, and it's a tool for, you know, indie developers, too, to kind of gauge the market for anything that they're trying to develop. So,
well, not just even indie gamers, a lot of the medium to large size developers were using it to gauge interest in things.
Well, Steam knows this now after, you know, they went through the whole process of
fucking with their privacy settings.
Right. Changing the privacy settings. They see the effect that it has. So at least they recognize that it was a tool and it was useful, even though it may not have been entirely accurate.
Did you find anything saying that they were talking about a subscription service for it?
Really?
I don't know. I'm just seeing it going that way.
Oh.
No. They did basically say that, you know, that we understand not only do you need Steam Spy, but you need something better than Steam Spy. They said
they have all the data.
They do. It's just, they said pretty much it's just getting the data out and presenting it in a way that's not going to necessarily violate the privacy policies. You know, and of course, putting the platform together, there was no details regarding whether or not it's a subscription service, if it'll be available, exactly who it'll be available to, etc.
Well, that being said, I mean, they do provide a lot of analytics service with just base Steam that shows, like, how many of their users have this type of GPU? How many users have this speed of RAM? Like, they already have that data without having to do surveys because they look at your PC when you set up games.
Right. Yeah, so providing that that anonymous data would be, you know, would be beneficial to the developers. You know, how many people purchase a game or how many people are playing a game how many people have been playing a game is something that's been in Steam for a while, just kind of monitoring the community, how many active players. And the thing is that you get a snapshot in time when you look at Steam as to, at that time, there's this many players. What the Steam Spy, you know, did was they just took a bunch of those snapshots and put it into a timeline for you. So that you can kind of see if players have been playing the game and if there has been a drop in, you know, in interest in that game after a period of time. That's all information that Steam already has. They just need to come up with a accessible way to provide that to anybody that needs to have that information. But, you know, Steam Spy was doing it using a set of APIs that also included people's libraries, which, you know, if you had your library on public, they would just go through your library and see how many people actually own certain games. I don't think that's needed, honestly. You know, but if you're looking at just a specific genre of game, say a roguelike, you can pick out a couple well-known titles of some roguelikes and get some data from that and be able to, you know, to make informed decisions going forward. Being, a new purchase for a game, if you're a consumer or if you're a developer, how many people are actually, how many people actually like this kind of title? So, good. They need to come up with something. Can't leave that. That was a gaping hole. That information was useful, even though it was inaccurate, as they say. It's still needed. So there's that.
Yeah.
Anything more to add? There is that.
No, nope. I don't got anything. I think. In the weeks following an E3, the news turns to die down.
It's a thing. It's just, there's still a few things that's out there. I see some news for the Visceral Star Wars game, saying that it's different now that certain developers have left. So they're looking to recruit some more people for the staff for that game, but at the moment it's an idea that's changed quite a bit from its inception, so that's something that we kind of knew, but we didn't know that there was a shortage of people. So if you're a developer, play, go build me the fucking game, man. Go do it. I need me a good Star Wars game, a good KOTOR like Star Wars game. Let's see. PUBG skin traders lose a bunch of money because they take down some trading sites. The order of $1 million or so. They have a buttload of fucking, rare skins that they can't sell anymore because the site that they used to sell it went down. Good. These people are selling the a digital good. And I don't think I would ever actually buy one, but I can see you've got an artificial amount of fucking value for a digital good just because it's rare. You saw that with fucking CSGO skins and shit like that. The market's stupid. Like, a couple $1,000 for a fucking digital skin. Who has money for that shit? I mean, I bought skins for Dota, but that was directly from fucking Dota, from Valve. I haven't ever bought a specific, set of skins from another person. Nor do I really even give a fuck about that. It's a game. Why are you putting, a bunch of fucking value into a skin? I don't know. It shows the estimation is they had about 900,000 different skins with a total value of over $1 million that they just can't get rid of anymore. The items are gone.
Yeah. What else?
So there's that. I have. So one of the things that that caught me on Monster Hunter was that it was primarily a mobile game before Monster Hunter World, right? It was on what, 3DS.
PSP.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I haven't played any of these fucking games. But it's been a mobile game for a long fucking time. So Monster Hunter World being the big console breakout. Well, one of the things
I played it on PS2.
The handheld version of the game is by far the most popular version.
Correct.
Because of the Japanese culture of doing mobile gaming. So one of the things that people are saying, we've got a console right now that is mobile in the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. Why is this game not on Nintendo Switch? Because you know that local communication is available on the Nintendo Switch. You'd be able to meet up with people on a bus or whatever the fuck playing, you know, Monster Hunter. Why couldn't you just do a quick hunt with those people? You know, and they're saying Monster Hunter World would be a perfect opportunity to do this. Monster Hunter World can't be ported to the Switch, is what they're saying. It's not a possibility to port it to the Switch, and I kind of would have called that easily.
The way it looks, yeah.
Because, I mean, if it's chugging on my Xbox, it's going to definitely chug on the Switch. But that doesn't prevent them from actually coming up with a Monster Hunter that could be released on the Switch. The thing is Monster Hunter doesn't necessarily need to have the same graphics as what we have in World. I mean, it's lived in an environment of lower res graphics for a long time and had the same kind of gameplay. You know, it still had that same loop. So the Switch would be a no-brainer for a Monster Hunter game. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it if that becomes an available option.
Right.
Not that I know a whole bunch of people that, you know, personally have Switches. How many friends
do you have on your Switch?
Right. I don't have any friends on my Switch. But I do know a couple of people at work that do have a Switch, and they do play Monster Hunter on their Xbox. So it would be a possibility that on a break or something, I could go and do a quick hunt with them. That'd be kind of cool. But if you're holding out hope for a Switch port, don't, because it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know that we have any other news. I think it's just one of those kind of weeks.
The only other issue is, or only other thing that I see is, you know, that Agony game, the you're in hell and you possess other demons game?
Yeah, Trent's still kind of chugging through it.
Okay. Well, the uncensored version of that game has been canceled. Apparently, there was a version of the game that was being worked on that had turned every censored part of it off, and just, you know, you could see tits and all kinds of...
Well, he said you can already see tits in it. It's just...
all kinds of other things.
He just says it's really dark.
Really dark.
Like, actually, dark.
As in, like, you know...
like, it's hard to see.
Okay, so...
yeah.
So, one of those games where you have to turn the gamma up a little bit just to be able to play it. Gotcha. Okay. Had to specify, because if Trent says something's dark, it's gotta be really fucking, like, mentally dark for it to actually affect him.
No, he's just been a little let down. He's trying to give it a go because he kickstarted it, but...
gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, they were forced to remove some material because it's illegal, and they were trying to create a new version of it, of the game, that has all of the stuff that was had to be removed added back into it. But bad things happened, and it went into a financial crisis, and they said, you know what, it's probably not worth it. So so don't look for that.
Right.
Not that I really wanted to see anything more than that. Anything more than what's already on the screen for that.
The
demon titties. I mean, yeah, demon titties.
The only other, the only other thing I saw was... was an article regarding Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk!
CD Projekt Red basically said there will be more nudity.
Sweet.
But not for sexual reasons.
Just chicks running around topless?
No. They basically said to take yourself into the mindset of this game, at this point in humanity, almost everybody modifies themselves in some way, right?
Sure.
So,
would you cut off an arm to put on a better arm?
People having, you know, self-respect in their bodies, et cetera, has kind of gone out the window. So it's more of a narrative-driven thing than...
Okay. So
are you going to see somebody with three tits?
Who knows?
Four. And they spit acid. Why not five and put one on your forehead? Right. I'm sorry. I have to cock my head to the left because otherwise I can't see you for my forehead boob.
Well, it's because you got titty eyes.
Titty eyes.
You'll also be able to romance either sex. No more straight sex.
It's progressive.
Right. Yeah, totally progressive.
I think it still has straight
sex. This is not Geralt.
It's just... You have all the options.
Mm-hmm.
All of the options.
All the options.
They've been doing that in games for a while, though.
Yes. Yeah. But can you romance a robot? Can you romance it?
Could you romance a Geth?
I don't think so.
It could be your best friend, though, couldn't it?
He could be your best friend.
You could be asexual and then have a robot friend.
You got awfully close to romancing the AI in 3.
Yeah, you did.
Awful close.
Really?
And
I'm sorry, whenever I think of this, I go back to Star Trek The Next Generation and that really
Data
awkward
and
scene.
Tasha Yar.
Yes, that really awkward scene between those two. He's like, I'm fully functional. Like, this is on TV? At this time, like, wow. Okay.
1992.
Right. So, whenever I say romance the robot, that's the mental image I've got, is Data and Tasha Yar. So, yeah. There's that.
Well.
Yeah. I don't have anything else, man. I really kind of...
I think rather than just dribble on, I think it's a good stopping point. Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel's at youtube.com/TheRealTiltcast and search for us on iTunes.
Find friends of the show for the love of gaming. NoQuarters.net, thecarouselpadcast.com. You can do cabbage. KBG. God, I got way out of order there.
Yeah, you did.
Shit. BMFcast.com and TVGP.TV. They do great things. Great with nice. That, it's the end of the show.
Alrighty. Peace.